the context of our study of Masechta Brachos, of Halachos in Or Chaim, of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, one of the issues that is very central to Brachos and Tefillos and Mitzvos in general, perhaps, is the question of a T'nai. Can I make a T'nai, and if I can, how does it work? And say that, you know what, if X, Y, then this should be valid. If not, let this not be valid. And then redo the mitzvah. Let me give you a few examples. A person is afraid that the Zman Kriyat Shema might pass. So in great urgency, he recites Kriyat Shema without the brachos. He's not too excited about it, but it seems like the lesser of two evils. Rather than take the risk of losing Kriyat Shema completely if the Zman passes, even though he's forfeiting the brachos, he would rather do so in order to guarantee that he has at least the basic mitzvah d'orais of Kriyat Shema. However, he makes it tonight, and he says the following. I'm not sure exactly when Sov Zman Kriyat Shema is, and many of us have that experience almost on a daily basis. When exactly is Sov Zman Kriyat Shema? Very often my children ask me, you know, is it after Zman Kriyat Shema or not? And they want to know an immediate answer. They don't have access to the computer or to the luach. So he makes a t'nai and he says, look, if I won't be able to recite Kriyat Shema b'zmano, let this Kriyat Shema, even without the brachas, count as my mitzvah. But if I can recite Kriyat Shema later on with brachos and still get fitted in within the Zman, then what I'm reading now is not Kriyat Shema at all. Or, take for example in Tefillin. You have a number of situations in which you're not too excited about wearing Tefillin, but on the other hand, the alternative is worse. So you want to make a T'nai. It's, let's say, Chol HaMoed. And you have Machlokas HaPoskim, whether or not there is a Chiyuv of Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Is it Kol HaNos? Is it not Kol HaNos? On the one hand, if it's, you know, if it's potter, if it's an os, if it's like yontif chol hamoed, then I don't want to be wearing tefillin. But on the other hand, there is a shita that says I'm chayav in tefillin. So let me at least wear tefillin with a t'nai and say, look, if I'm obligated in tefillin, this is l'shem mitzvah. If it's not, then I remove my l'shem mitzvah and I'm wrapping straps around my body, but it's not tefillin and I'm not undermining the kedushas chol hamoed, the os of chol hamoed. Or for example, let's say I want to wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, but I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. If the halacha is like Rashi, I don't want to be yotze with Rabbeinu Tam. You know, it's just putting on ritzuos. If on the other hand, maybe the shita of Rashi is not the correct shita, it's Rabbeinu Tam, then I make it with a t'nai. So a person who wants to be yotze zayin for all possibilities, and this is very, very much ingrained in our sense of Yiras Shamayim, we don't want to lose out on a mitzvah, can, and to what extent can he use a t'nai as the mechanism to save him and cover his bases so he can be Yotzei Mimonav Shach? A person, let's say, in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, is davening with the Tzibur, and it's Bein HaShmashos. He's not sure if he should be counting with them. Can he count with them and leave out the bracha because of the suffix and say, look, if I'm able to read Sfiras HaOmer, count the Sfir later on tonight, then I wasn't Yotzei, and I'm going to be Yotzei tonight. And that t'nai would allow him to, on the one hand, make sure that he doesn't lose the mitzvah sphere silver because he's not going to rely on his memory, but on the other hand, not to lose the possibility of reciting a sphere with a bracha. This comes up also in Kabbalah Shabbos. Can I make a t'nai and say, well, certain malachas I won't do, certain malachas I will do, I'm a Kabbalah Shabbos, I'm not a Kabbalah Shabbos? Can a person, for example, extend the Shabbos beyond, let's say, the Shita of the Gra and say, well, I want to be Choshesh for the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, but I'm only going to be Choshesh al t'nai, I'm going to say for this and for that. You know, how far do I have to go? Is it an all or nothing process? In the case of Afikoman, right, there are two shitas, whether or not you can be Yotze the Afikoman after Chatzos. According to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Tana, we cannot fulfill Afikoman past Chatzos. On the other hand, the Rabbanan say that you can eat Afikoman after Chatzos. Can I stop my meal before Chatzos, eat the Afikoman, and say, look, if the halach is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this is my Afikoman, and I was Yotzei. If on the other hand, the halach is like Chachamim, I'd rather continue my Seudah way beyond Chatzos, and at the end of my Seudah, I'll eat the Afikoman. If I was Yotzei the first Afikoman, fine. If not, I'll be Yotzei with the second Afikoman. I mean, what I mean to say is, if the halach is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, then I was Yotzei with the first Afikoman, which I ate before Chatzos. If on the other hand, I have a lot more leeway, and I'm not bound to eat the Afikoman before Chatzos, because the halach is like Chachamim, then let the second Afikoman be the Afikoman, and I'll be able to the mitzvah Afikoman with that, so that I can continue eating my Seudah, because I'm after Pesach Afikoman, even beyond Chatzos. And by way of introduction to this whole question of Tanai and mitzvahs, I'd like to mention a few points that are going to come up over and over again. We have a problem because of Kavana. Kavana is something that requires a definite intent. I don't know if you can make a tanai in kavana. Let's say we hold mitzvah srichas kavana. Can you say, well, yeah, I have kavana, but it's all a tanai. You know, if now it's I'm chayiv in tefillin, let this be my kavana, let be for the sake of mitzvah tefillin. But if not, there's no kavana. You know, so your kavana is very iffy. Does kavana lend itself to tanai? Another issue, for example, the Gemara says in Ksubis, Yivamis Kol Milsa the less of a Shlichus, less of a Tanai. That only an action which lends itself to Shlichus lends itself to Tanai. Now, in mitzvos, like Tefillin and Sviras Omer and Kriyat Shema and the like, there is no such thing as Shlichus. It's mitzvah mutelis al gufa shaladu, you can't send the Shliach. Then Lechora Tanai doesn't work either. And then the question becomes Brera. You know, Brera means when I do something now and its efficacy will depend upon something that will happen later. You know, and sometimes Tanai circumvents the problem of Brera. Sometimes it's not Tanai, it's Brera. How do the different definitions of Tanai and Brera kick in when it comes to mitzvahs? And with regard to the case of Kriyat Shema, which we mentioned as our first example, a person, as we said, is in a situation where he doesn't know if he'll have enough time to read Kriyat Shema and Birchoteha before later on. I mean, not before, I should have said later on when there's a later minyan. You know, he may not make it to the later minyan, but the earlier minyan is davening at a time which is really questionable in terms of Kriyat Shema. It's before it says. So on the one hand, he wants to read Kriyat Shema immediately to guarantee that he was Yotzei Kriyat Shema, and he'll also be able to daven Ma'ariv with the Tzibur. But let's say, you know, in doing so, he's not sure if he's being Yotzei in the midst of Kriyat Shema. And sometimes he's in such a rush, he may want to read Kriyat Shema without the brachos. Is that a possibility? And there's a classical scenario that comes up very, very frequently with regard to Kriyat Shema. You come into a minyan, and it's still within the zman of Kriyat Shema. All right, it's shacharis, let's say in shul. You know, they're davening at 8:45 a.m. Zman Kriyat Shema is something like 9:10. So you've got 25 minutes till sov zman Kriyat Shema, and you're not sure if you wait until the tzibur gets up to Kriyat Shema, if you'll be able to make it before Zman Kriyat Shema. It could be the tzibur is going to miss Zman Kriyat Shema. So what do you want to do? You want to recite Kriyat Shema at 8:45 before you've gotten to the brachos of Kriyat Shema. And if you take a look at the tour in Arachaim Simon Memches, he writes, Tov lower b'shachris achar shma Yisrael bruch shein kvod malchus olam voed ki lufayim shoim im kriya shma likro shalo b'zmano v'yotze b'zeh. The tour recommends, he advocates that we should recite kriya shma and bruch shein kvod malchus immediately when we come into shul, because you're not sure if they'll get up to kriya shma in the tzibur before sov zman kriya shma. At least you yotze with this. Even though, paradoxically, you'd be Yotze without brachos, but better to be Yotze without brachos than not to be Yotze at all. But you look at the Agos of Rabbi Kiveger. Well, let's, before we see the Agos of Rabbi Kiveger, let's look at the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, Pirish mishum de lefavim shoim at tzibur lachin yomer v'chol pam achlo yechavin lotzeis elim kein yoresh at tzibur yavru zman kriyat shma avak shalo yavru mutov lotzeis yidei kriyat shma im at tzibur likros also kendina v'rchos sam l'smakul tefillah. Clearly the Magen Avraham says that if you have the option of waiting until the tzibur will get to kriyat shma, knowing full well that that will be before sof zman kriyat shma, that's the best thing to do. Don't mess around with the Kriyat Shema without brachos and without the tzibur. Wait until the tzibur gets there, and then you'll be yotze Kriyat Shema with the tzibur, with its brachos, and as part and parcel of smichus gula tefillah, you get all the advantages. The Torah's recommendation is only in a case where you have reasonable doubt if the tzibur is going to get there, get the Kriyat Shema before sof zmana. He's afraid Shema Yavra Zman. Therefore, at least take the nitty gritty Kriyat Shema itself and guarantee yourself a notch, you know, that you have notched up Kriyat Shema. And here I wanted to see the Hagos from Kveger. He writes, Lefi ani is daiti. Interesting. If the tzibur will not reach Kriyat Shema before Sof HaZman, then and only then do I want to be yotzi with this Kriyat Shema. But im lo yavru, if they'll make it on time, lo yetze bazeh, his tnai is that this one that he's reading early without the brachos, he doesn't want to be yotzi. And in order to substantiate this kind of mechanism of Tanai, he quotes the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Pei Tes, in the name of the Avudram, with regard to a Tanai in Sfiras HaOmer. I mean, you see the Rebbe Kiveg is working overtime to try to justify the operation of Tanai. Basically, what Rebbe Kiveg is saying is that when the tour is in favor of reading an early Kriyat Shema without its brachos, because lest the tzibur will not reach Kriyat Shema Bizmana, the Torah is not happy about this. And the problem is obvious because he might be forfeiting all the enhancements and the embellishments of Kriyat Shema. To read Kriyat Shema without its brachos, something that my Rebbe said named Reb Chaim, was not a good idea. But says Rebbe Kiveger, the solution to that issue, Yesh Pitaron LaBaya, is a Tanai. With the Tanai, you sail the seven seas calmly and smoothly. Sail away. Because Mimonavshah. If you have nothing to lose because the alternative is to miss my Kriyat Shema, then at least gain Kriyat Shema. Again, the nitty gritty Kriyat Shema, not the Lechatchila Kriyat Shema. If on the other hand, what's going to happen? You can really gain Kriyat Shema with all its embellishments as part of Birchas Kriyat Shema, as part of Smichus Gula Tefillah, together with the Tzibur, because they're going to make it on time, then you don't want to lose that all by already having been Yotze with the first Kriyat Shema without the Brachas that you said B'yachid, without Smichus Gula Tefillah. So make it Tanai. The Tanai will cover all your bases. It seems so simple and such a perfect solution, smooth sailing. If this Kriyat Shema is unnecessary, then I'm not being Yotze. I'm just reading Psukim in the Torah. Call it the mitzvah of Shinantam of Talmud Torah. If on the other hand, I desperately need this Kriyat Shema, then my kavana is that I want to be Yotze. And we find a precedent for this, says Rebbe Kiveger, in the case of Sfiras HaOmer. Now, I just want to mention something in passing before we discuss a very interesting line here in the Siddur Agra, which some call the Isha Yisrael. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about the case of an Esrog. I have two Esrogim in front of me. One of them is a Safek Kasher, but it's definitely Mehudar. And the other is Vadei Kasher, but it's not Mehudar at all. And once again, can I take one with a Tanai? Can I take the one that's not Mehudar and say the following? I have kavanah to be yotze if I don't have another option, meaning if the second esrog is not an esrog. But on the other hand, in event that luck would have it, the second esrog, which is mehudar, is also an esrog, it's not a lemon, it's not a murkav, then you know what? This first netilas lulav, netilas esrog, is completely null and void. I have no kavanah to be yotze. It's just like picking up an esrog off the ground. I don't know what. And this way, I get the best of both worlds, because on the side that the mehudar is kosher, then I'm going to be yotze with the mehudar. That's the kind of a tanai that we're dealing with, where you gain everything with the tanai and lose nothing. You have your cake and eat it too. All right, let's get back to the Sidur Agro, who quotes on the Sidur Agro. There's a super commentary called the insights of Rabbi Yitzchak Melzin, or Molzin. He's one of the outstanding students of the Gaon, and he quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Obviously, Rabbi Yisrael is the founder of the Musa movement, and it's rare that we hear a chiddush in halacha from Rabbi Yisrael. We don't know, we don't have that much from Rabbi Yisrael in halacha. And he says here a chiddush, as quoted in the Sidur Agro. After quoting the Rabbi Kiveger about Tanayin's with regard to Shema Yavar Zman Kriyat Shema, he writes, B'shem Hagon, Rabbi Yisrael Salant, to be inan dine tnai dahainu tnai kafel vehein kodem lav. This is a fascinating point, a chiddush which seems at the face of it to be so simple, yet so simple yet so significant. We know that there is something called mishpatei atnoyim. You know, you can't just make a tanai. You know, a tanai has to fulfill many different rules and regulations. Some of the most famous of them are tanai kofel. You have to repeat the tanai and say it in both directions. If yes, then I want this to be, and if no, I don't want it to be. Here's your kedushin if your father gives me a sayim zuz, and if he doesn't give me a sayim zuz, it's not kedushin. Says Rabbi Yisrael, mishpatei atnoyim kick in with regard to this tanai in mitzvahs. And perhaps that's what Rabbi Kiveger meant when he said yichavin biderech tanai. He used the word biderech tanai. He doesn't say yichavin lit tanai or yichavin lahasnos. He says biderech tanai. Maybe he means all the drachim of mishpatei atnoyim. You would need hein kodem lulav. You'd have to say, if I need this kriyat shema, then it should be kriyat shema. If I don't need this kriyat shema, it should not be kriyat shema. Like in the case of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, if they cross the Yarden first, then this land is theirs. You know? Or say it the other way around, the land is theirs if they cross the Yarden. If they don't cross the Yarden, then they forfeit their rights to the land. But that's the tanai kofel goes in both directions. And that seems to be the major point here of Rabbi Yisrael. Now, I'm not sure that, you know, in the poskim, you know, you find this additional, stipulation. I don't want to use the word tanai, but that it has to be a tanai kofel, and it's something that should be mentioned. I'm almost amazed that it's not in the poskim. Again, it's hinted at in Rav Kiveg. Then we mentioned the case of tefillin. A person is in doubt whether the halacha is like Rashi or like Rabbi Tam about the seder of the parshios in the Batei HaTefillin. That machlokus between Rashi and Rabbi Tam. And what does he do if he wants to be yotzei both Rashi and Rabbi Tam? So let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin. We're in Simon Lamed Daled. And he writes in Sif Beis, Yirei Shemayim Yetzi Leishneim. The best idea, says the Mechaber, is to be Yotze both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And what should he do? Yase Shtei Tzugos Tefillin, Yoniach Shneim. Now this is a little bit odd, because the impression you get of Yaniach Shneim is that he's wearing both of them simultaneously. That would be the simple reading of the Mechaber. The only question is, should you be wearing two pairs of tefillin at the same time? That might be an issue. Says the Mechaber, Yechavein Bach Anachasom Biosom Shayim Al Libede Hilchasani Yotze. He should have kavana that whichever pair is Al Libede Hilchasom, Imanav Shach, one of them is going to be Yotze. And Yotze Dechovos, Asharen Kiritsuos Bialma. In other words, the other pair of tefillin is like, you know, I'm just wearing straps around my body. And if you look carefully in the Mishnah Berurah, he elaborates it. He says lo yuchal chavi b'shteim l'shem tefillin. He can't, when he ties them onto his body, onto his arm, he can't have kavanah for both of them l'shem tefillin. There are echem emeinu tefillin. And furthermore, yesh omrim odi yesh b'zeh mishum bal tosif. Again, I don't know if this is technically bal tosif, but at least when Rabbanan is bal tosif, how does he avoid it? He's not supposed to wear two tefillin, one of which is posel. So he says, let him make this t'nai. Again, you won't find the word t'nai in the Mechaber, but that's basically what he's saying. Yechavim anachosam. And he goes on to say that those tefillin which are not la'alacha should be like Ritzuas B'alma. And by saying it's Ritzuas B'alma, he's certainly correct. That's not, he's not fabricating anything, because one of the two pairs of tefillin is definitely possible. Rashi's tefillin is not acceptable to Rabbeinu Tam, vice versa. And therefore, there's no Bal Tosef. Again, one could ostensibly argue that forget about the Tanai and his Kavana. In and of itself, there's no Bal Tosef if one of the two tefillin are possible. But he writes the following. This is the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Neches. He says, "Dafka bazein overal bal tosif sheish bazeh shtayim lemal yus." He says, number one, she'echem emu posel. Number two, she'kol echad omei bifnei atzmo. In other words, when he wears two pairs of tefillin ksheros at the same time, that would be a problem of bal tosif, apparently. But here, one of them is posel. So again, I'm just throwing out this question here, and maybe we'll clarify this later. Why is it necessary to make this t'nai if, in and of itself, one of the two pairs of tefillin is possible and you yotze with the other one? Unless the problem is that you have to be mechaven l'shem mitzvah, and you can't throw on two pairs of tefillin unless you have kavana that one of them is l'shem mitzvah. The chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is that you don't have to know which one you have kavana on. You can stipulate that your kavana is to that pair of tefillin, which is aliv de ilchah, so which you don't know which one it is, but you do have a definite kavana. And then, if we fast forward a little bit to Chol HaMoed, and in the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch, we can go back to Simon Lamed Aleph and look at the Mechaber and the Ramah, and we're talking about tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So we have different opinions on this question. The Mechaber, for example, like the Rama before him, says that Shabbos and Yontif also laniach tefillin, mehem atzman os. And he says Chol HaMoed gam kein osa laniach tefillin mitam zeh biatzmo yimei Chol HaMoed gam kein emos. And then there are more comments, yesh om shechol HaMoed chayav b'tefillin. So what do we do in such a case? The Mechaber is absolutely opposed to wearing tefillin, and we have to be choshish for that. The Rambam, on the other hand, absolutely wants us, advocates in favor of wearing tefillin, because yesh om shechol HaMoed chayav b'tefillin. What do we do now? Halach l'maisi says, chay nogim chal glilos eila nichma moed ulevar chaleim. The minig is to accept the yesh omrim that chol moed engenders a chiv tefillin, period. Like any other weekday the rest of the year, you have to be mevar. He goes on to say that maybe he shouldn't be reciting the bracha out loud. you know, because of Lotus Kodidu, you know, there are other people who don't make a bracha on tefillin and stuff and such. Now, Lamaisa, I'm not sure if there are any Jews who wear tefillin on Chol Moed with a bracha, as the Rambam advocates, and not even called Namuch. If you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis here in Siman Lamed Aleph, he writes, Hachronu Eskimu L'das HaTaz Diyosu Tov L'Anichem below bracha. And the Taz is saying that even if I want to wear tefillin and Chol Moed, I should leave out the bracha, and I'll be yotze because Ein HaBrachas Makvos is a mitzvah. But leave out the bracha, you know, something brachas lahakel. You know, let's avoid making a bracha. We have to take into serious consideration the Shitas HaRamban, the Shitas HaBeis Yosef, and the Mechaber, that you have to consider Chol Moed as an os, and there's no tefillin. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds something else. He says the following: "Ubefrat shagroz al kosev she'ein l'dasa yesh omer ikar b'shas." Okay, the Gaon gives a special, a special weightiness or significance to the first daya, that there's no room to allow tefillin on Chol Hamoed. And then he writes, "Gam kodem ha'anocha." Again, it's not enough just to leave out the bracha, but before he puts on the tefillin, if he's going to be mekayem the minhag Ramah, is yachshav b'daito. And here I think the Mishnah Berurah is talking about tanai. Again, it doesn't bother me that he doesn't use the word tanai, doesn't spell it out, but listen to what he says. He says, yachshav b'daito. Im ani mechuyev ani menichav l'shem mitzvah. Lav ani menichav ein ani menichav l'shem mitzvah. Ubaze yotze yedei kuli al. The aflas sover of the Chol Hamoed eino zman tefillin eino overal baltosiv kevon sheino mechavim banochason l'shem mitzvah vaday. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to gain a few things over here. He wants to say that by saying that if I'm a chuyiv, let it be l'shem mitzvah, but if not, I'm not being meiniach l'shem mitzvah. I solve the problem of baltosiv. Because again, if there's no tefillin on Chol Hamoed, I didn't have any intention to put the tefillin on Chol Hamoed. Straps around my body, as we said earlier. There's no baltos. That's solution number one. But solution number two is that I was yotzei the sheet of the Ramah, although I left out the bracha, because I said, im ani mechuyev ani meinicha l'shem mitzvah. So I covered my bases. In order to be choshesh for the Beis Yosef, and not to be mezalzel Chol Hamoed by wearing tefillin when I'm not, you know, which would violate and undermine the oaths. Well, I'm not miskaven l'shem mitzvah. I'm only saying that if the halacha is like those yesh omrim quoted in the Ramah, that tefillin on Chol Hamoed is obligatory, then and only then do I have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. So I've covered the Ramah, because if indeed the Ramah and the yesh omrim that he's quoting in the name of the Rosh and some of this is correct, then in a chinami I'd kavanah to be yotzei and if I wasn't chayv in tefillin, so I wasn't yotzei. But it's more than that. Not only wasn't I yotzei, but it's just straps. So I have in no way undermined the kedushas yontif, which is an os according to this opinion, which is the Rambam and the Mechaber, and I'm not violating baltosif by adding tefillin in a time period that I'm not mechuyev to wear tefillin. Now this might shed a little bit of a light on what we discussed earlier in Siman Lamed Daled, as to why the tanai of Rabbi Natan Rashi's tefillin is necessary in order to avoid baltosif. And if after all one of the two pairs of tefillin is possible, one could argue that even though it's possible, but if I'm wearing it l'shem mitzvah, I'm like adding another min. And that now we'd have to go through the sugyas of baltosif. Back in Sukkah, let's say I had a fifth min to the Dal Minim, if it's inside the Agad, whatever it might be. Here I'm putting on the tefillin, which are psulos, right there on the arm and on the head, and that might be a baltosif issue, because the maisa hanoch of something which, even though it's technically possible, but it's being worn as tefillin. And the tanai here would circumvent baltosif. Now we saw that Rabbi Kivegan is how it goes on the Tur Mem Vav referred to the Beis Yosef in Tuf Pei Tes in Hilchas Sfiras HaOmer, where the Tanai is explicit. Let's take a look at the Beis Yosef in Tuf Pei Tes. We'll start with the tour and we'll see that that the Beis Yosef is going to expand here based on the Avodah. And this is all a discussion. In the context of discussion about when is the proper time for Sfiras HaOmer. Now sometimes, and this is frequently, the Tzibur davens a little bit early. It's not yet Tzeis HaKochavim. You have all sorts of issues of Kriyat Shema, Birchas Kriyat Shema, Sechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. But now you have an additional issue during the 7-week period between Pesach and Shavuos of Sfira. And the Avodah, quoting an earlier source, the Machzor of Vitri, writes, Hamas Falam HaTzibur Bodyom Mona Imoim Belo Barocha. He should take advantage of that moment, which is designated by the Tzibur for Sfira someone to count Sfira, but leave out the Barocha. Because it's early, it's Mibodyom. It's before it says, Meimar Omar. What's the logic that he should recite Sfira and take advantage of that opportunity? He doesn't want to expose himself to the possibility that he'll forget Sfira later, but he can declare Im Ezkar Balayla Bebesi. If Emir Tzashem, God will be with me and I'll remember to count at night. Achzor Vavarech Kidin. I will recite a bracha and be yotze. I already counted. The answer is that I don't want that counting to count. V'nimtza shelo birachti levatola. Because now it's after tzeis. But v'im eshkach, lest chashom, I forget to count later on, harei manisi yom v'shvus l'mitzvah, even without a bracha. And the Rambam, he quotes in Tamidim Son Perk Zion, writes, Mona b'lo bracha yotza v'chein ikar. The Avodah gives a thumbs up to this massive victory. And what we end up with is a kind of a Tanai. He adds, by the way, L'ficha tzach shizor mishasholo so chaver kami me'sfir yomolo esmol ha'yukach v'chav, very famous. You know, he doesn't want to get into a situation where he already counted and therefore he can't count with a bracha. Here he's counting up front without a bracha, but with the idea that if he remembers and he can count bizmana laila, then what he did now is not a bracha, is not a sphere at all. Clear-cut case of a tnai, and here we have the precedent for Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the case of Kriyat Shema. And that's the Beis Yosef that was quoted by the Rekiv Eger, and it's also brought down Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch Tav Pei Tes. Oh, I forgot to read the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham and Taz that I didn't get a chance to read. Let's take a quick look at that. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hamispalu matzimur bojo mona imon below bracha v'im yizkar b'layli yivarech v'yispar." And on that, the Ramah adds that even if he answers amen to the brachas hakol, shoyu b'daita shelo lotzes, is then he can make the bracha later on. So he has a negative das not to be yotze with the bracha of the kol, so that he can be yotze with his own sphere and his own bracha later on at night. Again, this is all with tonight. The Magen Avraham says that when the Ramah writes that he listens to the bracha and he's daito shelo lotzeis, he writes kasha dafilu b'stam lo yotze d'bina she's kaving lotzeis. In other words, the Magen Avraham is not sensitive to the distinction between anias amen and just listening to someone's bracha. In the case of listening to someone's bracha, you need a positive kavana lotzes. But in the case of amen, that's kamotzi bracha mi pivdomi. I don't think he needs kavana in that case. But in any event, he goes on to say, efshe kevedi osel levarich bracha levatola imayestam is Asal Varech Shenis. Kevin the Yesh Omer Mitzvos Ein Srifus Kavon. So he wants to suggest that Ramaz wants to cover his bases here, and he should require Daito Shalolotzeis in order to satisfy the sheet that says Ein Mitzvos Srifus Kavon. And then if you take a look at the Taz points out that when the Mechaber writes that you're being mispal with the tzimah bojom, you should be mona imoyim below bracha, he writes, Pirush v'daito tia shalo lotzeis bekach ad shivrach b'layla b'beiso. Again, I think the Taz means the Tanai, because again, he wants to count with the tzibur in order to guarantee that in case he doesn't remember later on, at least maybe he was yotzi with the tzibur. He says, Mato elis yeshal b'meshem mona imakol? And the answer is that we're not talking about a case which is definitely b'jojom, but it's a suffix hashech. And therefore he might indeed be yotzei with this first sphira in the twilight zone. And he certainly wants to have that opportunity as a fallback position just in case an event he doesn't count sphira after tzeis hakochav. Now let's look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah here on this Sif Gimel, which is Sifkot and Tezayin in the Mishnah Berurah, says Yesh Me'achronim, and I think he's referring to the Taz, Sheperishu Dahainu Bein Hashmashu Sufik Laila. Yeah, in the Sharat Siyun he mentions the Taz and the Grah. Then he writes, "Do suffik laila v'yotzim by yedei sfira la posting the sfira of the sfira b'zman esed rabbanon." Interesting, he says, even though it's bein hashmoshas, it's before it says, but nevertheless, there are poskim who hold that sfira b'zman esed rabbanon. That's pretty much ruba the poskim, and bein hashmoshas is a suffik yom suffik laila, so it can be yotzim. Achein. Who wrote to the Dagdivis Mitzesa Kochavim? We're talking about someone who's not interested in entering into that whole plugta about the nature of Sphere Sober and its definition. Is it Dara'isa, Dara'bonin, and Beit HaShemashas? He wants to do a glat and with certainty and recite Sphere Sober after Tzesa Kochavim. Is therefore the Machaber gives him this option? Kamar Machaber, do Yimne Imoyim let him count now with the Tzibur? Pen yishkach acherkach, because he may forget later on to count after tzeis hakochavim. Kedar kedav hakodesh, this is very common. Let him at least grab this opportunity and perhaps be yotzei, even though it's bein hashmoshes. But v'yachshav b'daito im ezkar acherkach b'layla limnos ein ani chotzei latzis b'sfirizu. How does he set up the possibility that later on, after tzeis, he can make the bracha? After all, he may have been yotzei mibojo, bein hashmoshos. But the answer is he had kavana with his tnai that if I will remember later on, then the sphere that I'm counting now is just a maisakov. It's a technical, mechanical act. It's not l'shem mitzvah. And then, k'shayagi hazman achkach yivarech v'yispar. This is great. Now through this tnai, he has an option of counting sphere sober later with a bracha. And then he goes on to discuss what we saw in the Magen Avraham, commenting on the Ramah. The Ramah says that when he hears the bracha from the Shatz in Shul, he should be miskavin shelo latzeis. And the Mishnah Berurah says the reason for this is because mitzvahs ain't srikas kavanah. So if he doesn't have a negative kavanah, it'll be yotze. Again, we said, I think, a little bit better because of the adias amen. That's what we're worried about. He says, after Kaimelon, Liel, Basim, and Samad, the mitzvah srikas kavanah. And here we seem to be reflecting the opinion that mitzvahs ain't srikas kavanah. Efshalinian bracha shetzorach laskir shet shemayim tzorach lachush lahanidea. We do seem to accept the opinion of mitzvahs srikas kavanah, but he says, you know what? There's a major school of thought that maintains that mitzvahs ain't srikas kavanah with regard to brachos and a suffic bracha levatolo, which is askar shem shemayim lo tizah shem hashem l'shav. We have to be very machmir, and therefore let's be choshes that mitzvahs ain't srikas kavanah. And therefore, he would have been yotzei with the bracha. The shliach tzibur has no right to recite his own bracha later on, unless he had kavanah shelo latzeis. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah presents this all, and that more or less covers the case of Sfira Sa'omer. And now I want to discuss with you the case of converting a tefillah from a tefillah chova to a tefillah nedava, are the situations in which, if I'm not sure if I was yotze tefillah or not, I can just add a tefillah nedava with a tenai. So let's look in Hilchos Tefillah now. We're in Kuf, Siman Kuf Zayin, which is called Amasupa Kemispal Vidin Tefillah Nedava. Says the Mechaber Tzif Aleph, Imu Mesupak Imispalel Choser Umispalel V'Ein Sarach Lechadish Shum Dover. There's plenty to talk about in Lomdus here, but I just want to focus on one dimension. The man doesn't know if he daven, he's going to repeat davening. And the Mishnah Berurah amplifies what he's going to gain here. Where's the Miman of Shaltan? This is a good thing. Why do we advocate in favor? And he says, Mas Neviyom makes it tonight. In lo is palalti teheilich ovasi. I don't know if I did daven or I didn't. On the side that I did not daven, this is my tefillah chova. If I is palalti, if I already daven, teheilich ovasi. Very interesting. He can make it tonight. And that tanai will determine whether or not the tefillah is being mispalled, the tefillah is chov, the tefillah is nedava, if he's chayv, if he's not chayv in this mitzvah tefillah. In any event, summarizing everything we've seen until now, you can make a tanai on kiyum mitzvahs, and at the time that you're implementing the mitzvah, you make this tanai. And in the poskim, there are many, many different examples of this kind of tanai and how to use that, avail that possibility effectively. And then we mentioned that according to Rabbi Yisrael Salad, you're going to need mishpatei tanai, you need a digdug gadol. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, there are certain issues here with regard to tanai and mitzvahs that make life a little bit more complicated. It's the way we saw it so far, it's so smooth and glatt, it's wonderful. You know, with the Rikv Eger and the Beis Yosef and the Mishnah Berurahs that we saw, it's all great. You know, whether it's Kriyat Shema, whether it's tefillin this way, tefillin that way, Svius Omer, and making a tefillin Nedav, it's great. But the Oneg Yontif was one of the Gedolei Achronim of Yontif Lipman Heller, who was the Avbezin of Bialystok back in Poland. He died, it's coming close, 50 years ago that he's gone already, wow. Anyway, he starts with He presents his discussion by quoting the Gemara in Ksubis with regard to Chalitza and the possibility or the impossibility of making a Tanai in Chalitza. And the Gemara presents the following principle, which is a fundamental principle of Tanai. Kol Milsa, the less of a Shlichus, less of a Tanai. I can't send the Shliach to do Chalitza for me. And therefore, I cannot make a tanai in chalitza. So if a man says, you know, I'm giving you this chalitza, but it should only work if you pay me $1,000, then the tanai is batel, the mice is kayan. And the question is how to understand that equation, that interdependence between shlichus and tanai. And the Oneg Yontif Kedarka Bakodesh has a brilliant insight into the mechanism of this principle. He says, and I quote, Hapu'ula niksheret bebalov kol kach ad she'eino nases al yedei shliach. The action is so connected to the bailim that he can't make a shliach. It's like similar to the concept we discussed earlier about mitzvah shebegufo. The ain chalba tnai litlo sadover berifyon ubetnai im tasakach vakach elikaven shasoa re he ose pulasa beli shum tnai. A person when he adds a tnai, he's making some pu'ula into a rifyon, you know, some ambiguous kind of action. We don't know exactly the nature of his action because he made this tnai. Will the action be valid? Will it be meaningful? Will it not? And since the pu'ula cannot be done through a shliach, it means it's something that requires the gufo shel adam. You know, it's the pu'ula is so connected to the bailim that he cannot make a tanai, because the tanai would take the mice that's done with full force and power of the bailim, and it could only be done by the bailim, and make it into some rifyon, make it into some obscure, you know, questionable kind of action. But if you have a maisa that can be done through a shliach, it means that the maisa itself is oftus. You know, it accomplishes its goal. It generates the chalos. But although the energy to create the chalos is inherent in the maisa, but nevertheless, you need his ratzon. And if you need his ratzon, because his ratzon is going to play such a major role, it's not the pa'ula itself, because again, we're talking about something that can be done through a shliach. Pa'ula means when the bailin themselves do the pa'ula. Here it can be done through a shliach. It means what engenders the chalos? It is the ratzon. It is the will of a person, his das, and therefore he can subject this das to a t'nai. He can make a t'nai. And what we want to see is whether the logic of the Oneg Yontif would justify all the poskim that we created before, starting with Kivega that we quoted before, that there is a t'nai in mitzvahs. And the answer would seem to be that when it comes to mitzvahs, which is a chova mutelis al gufo shel adam, it's a very powerful act. It cannot be done through a shliach because it's got to be done through the bailin themselves. I mean, that's the nature of mitzvah. And therefore, there's no such thing as shlichus. Now, if there's no such thing as shlichus, there should be no such possibility as making a t'nai. And yet, the Beis Yosef, as we saw with regard to Sfiris Omer, insists that there is a t'nai with regard to Sfiris Omer. And that might just blow, you know, undermine the whole tfisa, the whole understanding and presentation of the Oneg Yontif. Let's read a little bit of the Oneg Yontif in Or Chaim Simon Gimel. He writes that ain't nai bechalitza mishum delesa b'shlichus v'kavu adavar leklal gadol milsa deisa b'shlichus isa b'tnai milsa delesa b'shlichus lesa b'tnai v'atos b'ksubis tamu bazeh halo gamrina mitnai b'nei kad b'nei ruvin el adavar amistabir masvaruhu litlos tnai b'shlichus. And he gives the svar now. He says, "Milsa the lesser b'shlichus tzarch shiyase hu biatzmo dafka kevin shapaula niksheres bebailov kol kachat sheinu nasal deshliach ein chal b'tnai litlos adov berifyon ubitnai im tasa kach v'kach." Like a powerful maisa, where all the power is in the maisa, because the maisa was done by the bailim, and that gives it upgrades it to a special gravity power that it has, an amazing power to generate the chalos, and we don't need das here. I mean, we do need das, can't be bal karcho, but das plays the secondary role, alts licht in the maisa. And in such a case, to make a t'nai, which is based on ratzon, and put that maisa into a suffik, you know, ahatim odofi, so to speak, that we can't do. Elkevon sha'asah, once he does the pu'ula, hareyu osa pu'lasa belishum t'nai. The pu'ula now has a life of its own, and it can accomplish its goal even with all the t'nai in the world. The conditions do not in any way inhibit the power of the pu'ula to achieve its goal. But dafka dovah sheyuchal limasa l'shliach k'mo begerishin kevin sheita yochalitein aget al yidei shliach hu o shein etzem nesinas haget levado matkin mitztarfus ritzono. You know, the fact that he can pass on the maisa to a shliach and the shliach can do it, that means that das is playing the major role, the ratzon plays the major role. And if that be the case, then he can make a t'nai and his ratzon is makes it iffy, as he called it rifyon before. Dover she'ein bo shlichus kol chalitza ha'maisa bi'atzmo po'eles ein ritzono me'etzem ha'maisa, and therefore lachi lo mahani be'tanai. And he goes on to say that with regard to mitzvos, he says, says even if at the time that he implements the mitzvah act, he has a tanai in his mind, but nevertheless the tanai is meaningless, because as And the way we explained it, he says, it means that you cannot send a shliach for these mitzvahs, and therefore the mitzvah has to be done by you because your pa'ula is what achieves the goal here. Is therefore, how can you make a tanai? The pa'ula is done, and the pa'ula is not inhibited by the tanai. And therefore, he writes, Yesh makom le'iyun v'mashakosim v'rab beis yosef v'chus pesach tov peis tes, and he quotes the Beis Yosef, who quotes in turn the Avadram, that in a mispal and matzibur bojom, and it's a suffik yom, suffik lila, you can make it tonight. And maybe he says that makes sense if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana. Maybe in that he's fetching out an answer probably to reconcile how tonight works. If you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, the chavin es libo im ezkar balayla einan im chavin lotzis besfir zu, maybe that would work. But he writes, lefima shekasavnu, according to our presentation, says the Oneg Yontif, ein tnai nitfas bekavona b'mitzvahs, since kavona b'mitzvahs is again something that's depending upon his goof and engendered by his goof, is lomahani klal hach tnai. The ein tnai bekavona b'mitzvahs. So that's the upshot of the Oneg Yontif, and that would not only undermine what we saw in the Beis Yosef regarding Kesfira, but Memela, the whole domino theory, is going to undermine the psak of Rabbi Kivega with regard to Kriyat Shema, and probably all the cards are going to fall down with regard to Tefillin, where again is a Maisa Shebegufa, there's no Shlichus in Tefillin, and any other case that we can come to with Tanai and Mitzvahs is going to be antithetical to the position of the Oneg Yontif. There's no possibility of Shlichus, therefore there's no possibility of Tanai. There is another Sefer here that I wanted to call your attention to, and that's the Sefer of Rav Shlomo Kluger, also died around the same time as the Oneg Yontif, 150 years ago, or a little bit more, and he says, and he has a tshuva sefer called Ha'elef Lecha Shlomo, because his name was Shlomo Kluger, and he addresses the issue of Kiyum HaMitzvahs B'Tanai. His issue is not the same as the issue of the Oneg Yontif, namely, how could you make it Tanai, since it's less of B'Shlichus, you don't have the power to institute it Tanai, and take some of the power out of the pu'ula and put it into the ratzon. His problem is breira. Breira, which means something that's not clear now, it's only going to become clear later. There is a gigantic machlokas in the Tanoim about whether or not we can accept breira and say that the lack of the ambiguity now will be clarified later retroactively through the events that take place down the line. That's called breira. And the question is how we paskin on this. If we paskin ein breira, then we have a serious problem with all these cases of a mitzvah that's being implemented now, and whether or not the mitzvah will or not be meaningful and valid depends upon situations that will only clarify themselves with time. If we maintain a breira, then the whole system, the whole mechanics falls apart over here. Let's read his language. He says, "Aminu lomar kriyat shma betals tefillin b'boker ashkem." We had the tour that says you get up early, you recite kriyat shma after you put on talis and tefillin. Ach masne im yispalu atzibur kodem avaras van kriyat shma liyei yotzib is a rakim atzibur. If the tzibur makes it on time, within the confines of Zman Kriyat Shema, you don't want to be Yotzi with this Kriya without Brachos. And therefore, that's the Minhag. He says, Ola Belibo, he's talking to the Shoel, Safek, the Azli, the Ulai, Talia Zeb, Din Brera. Maybe we should say that this whole enterprise of a Tanai is really Brera. And he writes that this Rav Shlomo Kluger, I think he's saying that Nela Mimenu Haturizov Shekosav Di'ein La'asnos l'mitzvos misafek. Ayn Magen Avram shekosiv diyasne im ez kabbalayla lo yeyotzim b'seh is muchak benahani beitnai vi lo amrinon b'zeh ein brera. And here, in order to explain why the principle of ein brera would not kick in here and disqualify, undermine all these conditions, is because based on the Gemara in Erevin Pei Gimel, it says the Gemara is machali between ikro de oraisa olo ikro de oraisa. Kein hachi nami linyan brera havik mo de bamedavi ikro de oraisa havik shal tera vi ein brera. Avol benido di dan im kvar yotze yidei kriyashma rea brachos. Brachos, the next word is a little bit erased here. Einkan, achkak brachol vatola, v'shuv yotze kriyat shema b'tchila. And basically, if I understand correctly, the punchline here of Reb Shlomo Kluger is that there's a distinction between something which is ikro min haTorah, where we paskin ein brera, but here this might be considered ein ikro min haTorah. That's one approach. Then he has another approach in which he says ikro mevurar b'tchiloso rak mi'uto mevur b'sof v'zeh kamelon d'yesh brera. He has another svar to say that even if something is ikro min haTorah, but most of the beer is there from the tchila, you know, there's only a mute, you know, there's some outside chance that maybe such and such is going to occur, then Brera does operate. And again, you have to check out all of our situations. I mean, is it an outside chance that he'll remember to recite Sfira Somer later to count the Sfira? Is it an outside chance and unlikely that the Tzibur will make it to Zman Kriyat Shema? I don't know. Every situation has to be gauged within that context, within those definitions. And finally, he gives a third answer to this question. He writes, the Brera lo shayach rak b'dover atolui b'maise v'lo b'dover atolui b'machshova. He says that the principle of ein brera applies only to maise. You can't be mevara maise, but you can be mevara a machshova. So for that, you know, we'd have to really go through the tshuva and get in heavy into the sugya brera. I don't know if I'm interested in doing that now. I just wanted to give you a general feeling as to where the problems lie over here. And I would like to discuss for the last few minutes that we have the case of Afikomen. And here we begin with the sugya, the first parak of brachas on daf tes, which Mitzvah will get to in our iyun shiurim in about 2 weeks, hopefully before Pesach. And what we'll see here is a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva about the latest time for achilas haPesach. V'yochlo so balayla hazeh. And the Brisa says the Quentra Blossom and Azariah Nemar Khan Balaila Zem Nemar Lahalan Viovarti Beretz Mitzray Balaila Zem Alahalan Ad Chatzos Afkan Ad Chatzos Orale Rabbi Kiva Halok Farneb Chispiso Chipozon Achas Chipozon. And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Blossom and Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Now, there's a big to do here as to how we paskin in this machlokes, but be that as it may, l'chatchila, the Rishonim say we have to be machmir for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to eat it before chatzos, although the halacha might be like the Rabbanon, like Rabbi Akiva, that you can eat it, you can eat the korban pesach during the course of the entire night. And in this context, we jump from the korban pesach itself, Bizvan Shemikdash Ayakayam, Shibana Beis Hamikdash Meir Vimeinu, to Zecher Le Korban Pesach, which is the Afikomen. And here we have a Chidush here a new innovation of the Avdei Nezer, of the Sukkot Shavuot in his Shut Avdei Nezer, in the Pesach Shin Pei Aleph. And he writes, Nasati alibi li'ayin b'inyin bracha al achilus matzah al achilus mara. He's wondering about the Nusach HaBracha. Should it be with an al? Should it be with a li? The Gemara Psachim decides on Daf Zayin that a mitzvah she'efshel kaim al-yidei shliach, it should be with a lamed. So Vosep is alach, he was matzah, you cannot send the shliach to eat matzah for you. And therefore it would make more sense that the nusach should be lechol matzah. Everyone recites for themselves, and yet with an al. So he doesn't know. He says in the name of the Chok Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reisher, that perhaps Ein Mishana Loshen HaTorah, since the Torah says Al Matzah Sumrom Yachlu, we follow the cue of the Torah. That's a little bit strange, because the Al Matzah Sumrom Yachlu is really a reference to the Korban Pesach, not so much to the Matzah. Matzah is Be'er Toklu Matzahs. Then he goes on to discuss the Nusach of the Bracha of Albir Chametz. And Lechori thinks that we should recite the Bracha Levayer, because the Gemara says Levayer is definitely clear cut that it's referring to the future, which is called Lahaba Mashma. But perhaps the mitzvah of Bir Chametz really is achieved later on when we get to Chag HaPesach. And therefore we need some sort of a lashon. Ein abir mitzvah mitzad hazman shenaseh bo abir. Rak mitzad ha-pesach shebo achar abir. V'kevim d'vigi ha-pesach for nizbar ha-chometz shayach lo melevarech al bir ha-chometz. D'mash v'le shavar. No, this brach is really going on Chag ha-pesach, and it's chal sort of l'mafreya on the maisa that he did beforehand, and therefore you need a nusach of Lishavar, not the classical nusach of Lahava. The mitzvah of Bir Chometz is very unique. Then he goes on to something that's a little bit closer to our sugya here in Brachos Taftes, and he speaks about the bracha of Alachilus Matzu Mar according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. If Achilus Pesach has to be Ad Chatzos, and he derives that from the pasuk, the Gzer Shavta Vavarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim B'layla, which means up into but not beyond Chatzos. He says, "Adomi Yipole, Hare Haviavarta Be'eretz Mitzrayim Hoya Berega Chatzos Mam Sheikh Yolifli Achilus Pesach Ad Chatzos." So he wants to know. It's a bit of a technical question. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed through Mitzrayim taking the lives of the Bechoros at Chatzos Mamish. Punkt. Exactly, pinpoint Chatzos. But we want to suggest that you have to eat the Pesach ad Chatzos, meaning before Chatzos. He says, Tzarech lomar kevan di'efshal lechel b'chatzos mamish, she'ein bo hemshech zman klal. He says, you know, you can't tell him to eat all of his kezayis matzah exactly at Chatzos. You know, achila requires a couple of seconds and more than that. His hamayis tzorach hemshech hazman al kochah pirush b'chatzos yekvar abasar pesach nechal. It must mean not that he eats the basar at Chatzos, but he has to finish the consumption of matzah by Chatzos. And in the case of matzah, which is derived from pesach, the same idea applies, that the mitzvah of matzah should be such that he, by the time Chatzos around, he's already eaten the matzah, he's already consumed the matzah. Then he says, "Ein maftirin achar Pesach afikomen," meaning you're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach, which means once you reach Chatzos, there's no chance of eating anymore. And then he says, "Ladina." He says, "Laman di Omer ena Pesach nechal elad chatzos v'hua din matzah is nevertheless liach chatzos muta lechal." Now, again, everything that we've established is that if we're worried about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Pesach has to be eaten before chatzos. And the matzah of afikoman replacing the Pesach has to be eaten before chatzos. This aim after nach Pesach afikoman, we have no heter to eat after chatzos. Comes along the Avdinez with a chiddush. He says, no, liachar chatzos mutar lechol. We're allowed to eat. And how is that so? And then v'yamten ad chatzos v'yochal sudos v'akach yochal sheinis afikom v'yotzi v'mon afshach. Im alok rabbi kiv k'rab lozman azarya is then he was yotzi with the first afikom. And there's no isra achila after chatzos. Then, if the alok is like rabbi Akiva, then the afikom that he was yotzi with is the second afikom that he ate later after chatzos, after his suda. So the first premise, which I think is very solid and unquestionable of the Avnei Yezer, is that the Tam Matzah Befiv, according to Rabbi Lozman Azariah, applies up to but not beyond Chatzos. Why? Because the Tam Matzah Befiv means that you have to have Tam Matzah Befiv Bizmana Mitzvah, during the Zmana Mitzvah, which means up till Chatzos, but not beyond Chatzos. Because the Tam Matzah Befiv is within the framework of the Zman HaMitzvah. After Chatzos, it's okay if he eats, even according to Rabbi Lozman Azariah. That's okay. Norvaz, he needs an Afikomen before Chatzos for Rabbi Lozman Azariah, and that he did. Now the Avnei Yezer comes up with this unbelievable Chiddush, that if he sees it's getting close to Chatzos, let him eat Matzah tonight. If the Halachas of Rabbi Lozman Azariah was Yotzi before Chatzos with the Afikomen, and he has Kavod L'Shem Afikomen, then he waits till after Chatzos. There's no longer any Iser Achila because Tam Matzah Befiv is Mekayim. It's no longer Zman Mitzvahs Achila, so it's no longer Tam Mitzvah Befiv, Tam Matzah Befiv. And now he can eat a second Afikomen, and Mimar Shach is Yotzi. If the Halachas of Rabbi Lozman Azariah of Ad Chatzos, he was Yotzi the first Afikomen, and if it's like the Chachom, he's Yotzi with the second Afikomen. And this Hamtza'ah, this new Mitzia, this new Chiddush of the Avnei Yezer, has engendered quite a bit of, shall we say, controversial challenges or questions on the inner logic of the Avnei Yezer. And I want to leave you a little bit in suspense so we can pick this up next time, give it some thought, and see what issues you could come up with, either based on what we've discussed or even based on what we haven't discussed until this point. Shkai, thank you very much.